AgBioScience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
We have the opportunity to go innovate, create new ingredients, to create new opportunities to make this focus on food not just be something that generates headlines, but ultimately creates an economic growth opportunity, but more importantly, I think saves our future.
Welcome to AgBioScience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to a special edition of AgBioScience as we look back on the month that was February 2025. Here with Kayla Chittister. Hello, Kayla.
Hi, she was a fast one.
She was a fast one. It's amazing. We are already just a stone's throw from March, and it has been a wild month just on the road and looking to what's shaping the future of this economy.
Yeah, you've been doing some speaking engagements.
I have been on the road. What's always, I think, enjoyable, and the great position we're in at Agrinovis is we're working with companies all the time. We're working with academic institutions. We're working with investors. We're working across this broader ecosystem of ag bioscience, and you begin to develop a thesis and you begin to have a point of view. And it's been fun to be able to go as in Kentucky and in Florida chatting about what I think the three trends are, the three things that we're going to see here of this next era. And Kayla, I have goosebumps as I talk about it. I mean, it's challenging, two sides of the same coin, challenge and opportunity. But when you look at the big trends, one of them, labor woes will fuel innovation. We've seen this in the past, but what we saw this year, just last month in January, John Deere took the stage again at CES in Las Vegas and unveiled three new products. And it was an autonomy kit for a 9R tractor, big ag tractor, an autonomous wheel loader for construction sites, and an autonomous battery-powered commercial mower. Autonomy's cool. It's interesting. But when you begin to put this into perspective, there are 2.4 million ag jobs in the U.S. that have to be filled every year. We have historically been around 5% unemployment. We're actually under 5% unemployment. Most economists would say that 5% unemployment is full employment. So we kind of have this full workforce. And then you look at the data that John Deere shared on stage when they talked about autonomy. As we look at this, labor woes will fuel innovation. They cite a construction stat, and I think the same thing holds true in ag bioscience. 88% of construction companies struggle to find qualified labor. They said 85, I think, if I remember right, in landscape. And so you begin to think through, man, that can feel really daunting. If you are a company, you're an executive listening to this, gosh, I have that same problem. Well, you can either be moved by it and say, gosh, what do we do? Or you can innovate toward it. And that's exactly what John Deere did. I think we're seeing it. We've seen it here. Soliftech, a Brazilian-based ag tech company, moved their headquarters to Indiana, 4 or 5 years ago? And they're using autonomy to scout and spray fields. I think it's a great example. But labor woes driving innovation, that was the first big trend. The second one is one that's near and dear to my heart. It's one you and I have talked a lot about. And I care about this so, so deeply. Is this new focus on food?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've seen it. This new focus on food will create opportunity. Lots of headlines right now. Just this morning, I got sent an email from a friend who was reading Washington Post. And it talks about GLP-1s and the shift that is happening. So these weight loss drugs, GLP-1s, Wegovy, Mounjaro, that ilk. People are taking these drugs. And we had Laura Liebergen on the podcast.
Last year.
And she was talking a bit about this. It was still early, but this caloric shift that happens, this caloric demand shift that happens when folks go on these drugs, we've seen changes in the federal administration. Now, Secretary Kennedy at Health and Human Services really focused on quality of food and nutrient density of food. You begin to put all of these things in the mix. And there's some stats here that are just heartbreaking. 60% of Americans face at least one chronic disease. And you start to dig through the data. There's a new study that came out in February this month that said 75% of consumers blame processed food companies for that. And you begin to look at all these things that are happening. We spend $170+ billion a year in the U.S. on obesity. It's real heavy. But if you look at what's driving this and where's their opportunity, two sides, same coin, challenge and opportunity, we clearly set up the challenge. The opportunity is the ag bioscience economy, the only one in the world that touches every person on the planet. We're the suppliers of food. We have the ability, we have the opportunity to go innovate, create new ingredients, to create new opportunities to make this focus on food not just be something that generates headlines, but ultimately creates an economic growth opportunity, but more importantly, I think saves our future. I mean, it's powerful. The last one, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because I know we got a lot to cover, but I just can't help myself because we see it at every turn of this economy is consolidation. And we've gone through an era of consolidation. We're seeing it at the farm gate. We've seen the Directions Group, formerly Aimpoint Research, doing quite a bit of work at the farm gate talking about the consolidation that's happening, but we've also seen in big companies. And the setup that is happening now, you know, if you look at PitchBook data, 30% of venture capital deals that were done in 2024 were flat or down rounds, meaning that investors valued the company at or below where they valued it in the previous round. So you have these early stage companies who are innovating, doing some really interesting work, yet investors aren't rewarding them with the way they historically have, their valuations are lower. And I think when you look at what that setup creates is when you look at cash on hand for a lot of the big companies that exist across the ag bioscience economy, big public companies where we can pull public company data from, you're talking a lot of cash on the balance sheet. And I just did a quick sample of five or six big companies. And what we saw was in aggregate, those companies increase cash on the balance sheet about 5% since 2022. So there's more cash on the balance sheet. The cost of debt is higher than it was in 2022. Prime's up 2x. You have these early stage companies that are valued at or below where they once were. Like, beautiful setup here. If you have cash on the balance sheet, you're a big company, there's an opportunity here to go potentially do some shopping. And I think on the inverse side, if you're an early stage company doing some really interesting work, there's a really unique opportunity here for you to link arms with these big strategics who provide access to market, who provide global distribution, who have the infrastructure to scale. And we've seen that across the ag bioscience economy. There's these three trends. I am so excited about them. My hope is you and I get to unpack these more on the podcast, talk with lots of different folks about them, but they are just electric, and I think highlight the huge opportunity that's ahead.
And we saw some of it just really play out in real time this month with stories that have happened here across Indiana.
Without a doubt. Ingredion. So first week of February, if I remember right.
Yes.
I think I was running through the office when I saw the press release cross. I was so excited. Ingredion, global giant ingredient maker, big operation in Indiana, specifically here in Indianapolis. Ingredion announcing they're going to invest $100 million into their Indianapolis operation. And when you begin to unpack what they're going to do, there's some energy upgrades, some facility upgrades, sort of general operations maintenance improvement for efficiency. But the story inside the story is one of the drivers is health. They are building out, increasing their health products portfolio here. And as you dig into that, because, you know, I can't help myself, I just keep pulling on the thread. I went back and I think it was in a story about the announcement, or it was maybe in their quarterly filing. When you look at what's driving some of this growth, it is products that have a health component. Mochi, which I've never had mochi.
You haven't?
I've never had it.
Oh, come on.
But this was cited. So it's rice, apparently. You make mochi out of rice. Also, out of cornstarch. And so when you look at something like this, you connect Ingredion's investment to one of the big trends is focus on food creates opportunity. It's really easy to look at them and go, well, that's great for Indiana. That's great for Indianapolis that they're going to put $100 million to work. It's great for farmers. But when you begin to look at this, that is farmers are going to deliver grain to Ingredion, corn, and they're going to get a premium to do that. This idea that this anchor investment from a company like Ingredion can cascade economic impact from downtown Indianapolis to nearly every border of this state is a huge opportunity.
And I think the project will be wrapped fairly quickly too. I think they said second half of 2026.
That's fast.
It's moving quickly.
super fast. Well, and I think, again, this market is here. I mean, this focus on food creates opportunity. We're seeing it. And I think we're going to see more companies make big moves to try to at least keep up with the market so they can answer the demand that consumers are bringing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We also saw big news from Liberation Labs. We've talked with Mark Warner a bunch. Love the guy. Mark Warner, the CEO of Liberation Labs. Amazing contract precision fermentation manufacturing out near Richmond, far east part of Indiana. Amazing work. Mark is a pioneer. Awesome guy. Got their final piece of funding in to get this construction done. When's the plant going to be done?
$50.5 million, right? Just a cool 50 and a half. It looks like, did they commit to the back half of this year?
I feel like it was. When I saw it, I felt like I needed to text Mark and say, did you mean this year or next year? But good for him.
I'm fact checking myself because I want to make sure we're correct on this. Starting operations in 2025. So we're going to give them to the back half of this year.
We'll give them to Q4.
Yeah, we do like to be kind and build in buffer, but it does say operational in 2025.
It's super exciting. This is another area where you look at this focus on food, this focus on innovation, creating opportunity across the ag bioscience economy. So when you look at fermentation, precision fermentation specifically, you have to feed the fermenters. Like, that is a piece of it. One of the ways you feed fermenters is dextrose. Dextrose is corn sugar. It will drive demand for corn, which is great in a market that has been really choppy.
Yeah. And I think this announcement, the idea of Liberation Labs coming to Indiana, the announcement, it's a couple of years old now, but the decision to be here was proximity to customer and infrastructure, right?
So true. I love Mark's story. I think we're working to get Mark on. Mark Warner, CEO of Liberation Labs. His story is so great. He looked all across the country, said, look, I need to be near a place that has really good manufacturing talent. I need to be close to some place that has corn. I need to be near a rail line. I need to be near an interstate.
Insert Richmond, Indiana.
Here it is.
Yeah.
I mean, just, it's such a good story.
Going to be a great addition to the state and fill a great need.
For sure. And we also saw early stage companies. Mark wasn't the only one that put up points on the fundraising rounds in February. We saw Terraforce, really, really interesting young company. Mike Jacobs going to be on the podcast here
in a couple weeks. Yeah.
Mike's an amazing guy, an engineer turned entrepreneur, not a guy who grew up in ag, but a guy who said, hey, look, these watermelons, we should probably figure out how we can add some automation to this process. And so he's creating an automated watermelon harvester.
Yeah, you want to talk about the mechanization of labor and innovation.
Totally.
You know, as a product of labor woes, that is exactly what Mike is doing. Going to be a great episode. Yeah, coming up in a couple of weeks.
It's going to be a ton of fun. And put it all of this in the backdrop. So we saw Mark Warner at Liberation Labs raise money. We saw Mike Jacobs raise money at Terraforce. PitchBook out with new data in looking back on the final throes of 2024. This is staggering. When you look venture capital rounds, venture capital investment into ag tech companies have been down every quarter on a count basis, every quarter since Q1 22. I mean, it's a tough market. Add that to the stat that we talked about when we started talking about consolidation, where 30% of the rounds last year, venture rounds, were at or below previous valuations. It is a tough environment to raise capital. And to see great leaders like Mike and Mark bring capital to their operations to advance innovation in ag bioscience in Indiana, just exhilarating.
Absolutely. Another bright spot coming out of Indiana, Corteva Catalyst continuing to do what Corteva Catalyst has been doing.
Oh my gosh, Corteva Catalyst, what an amazing program.
Leading the round for IBI Ag out of Israel, the $6.1 million round, right?
That's right.
Their Series A funding.
IBI Ag's a really interesting company. I started to learn a little bit more about these folks. Really interesting technology. I'm not even going to try to explain it.
Bioinsecticides.
So the ways in which they're doing it, again, I know that I will botch completely in my mind. I think I kind of understand it, but I'm going to try. The thing is what's so great when you look at a company like Corteva, largest pure play ag company in the world, headquartered in Indianapolis, doing incredible work. They've put money into IBI Ag, really focused on next era, next chapter crop protection. We saw them just put money into Pairwise. This goes on the other side of their business, on the seed side, so gene editing, to make food more nutritious and more accessible. Sounds a whole lot like the focus on food creates opportunity. Feels like that's connected to a trend. And then when you look at what they've done overall, is just this beautiful framework within Corteva Catalyst to say, hey, look, it may look like an investment. It may look like a partnership. It may look like an R&D collaboration. But to have one place, to have one door for early stage innovators, for folks who really want to shape the future of this economy, Dr. Tom Green is one of the brightest, most just incredible leaders of innovation on the planet. If you want an introduction, I'm going to go for this. If you want an introduction to Tom, shoot us a note. I would love to connect you. What Tom and the team are doing, I am such a believer in what they're doing. I know Tom would love to have conversations.
Yeah. And we had Dr. Wendy Shernick on the podcast not that long ago. And she also spoke about Corteva Catalyst and sort of talked about that flexibility that Corteva Catalyst brings. And I think it is really remarkable that they leave sort of that bendability for them to not keep opportunities off the table with some sort of rigid structure. Innovators really have the opportunity to do something great with Corteva Catalyst because of that.
Testament to Chuck Magro, CEO of Corteva. Another guy that I just feel like is this humble servant leader doing his thing, working for farmers, delivering value all around the globe. And you don't hear from him, right? Like, he is not a guy that's out beating his chest and saying, look what we've done. He's just doing the work. I'm grateful for Chuck, grateful for Corteva, super elated with the work they're advancing.
Absolutely.
That's it, Kayla. We just wrapped up a February that was fast, furious, and now we're headed into March.
I can hardly believe it. We have Quadrant coming up in a couple of weeks.
We do have Quadrant coming up. And again, goosebumps have returned. This is one you got to come. We'll be in Indianapolis, 4 o'clock, March 12th. The new governor of Indiana Governor Mike Braun, will join us for a fireside chat. We're going to talk about ag bioscience, talk about the critical nature that this economy plays, not just around the globe, but specifically here in Indiana. Where does it connect to rural? Where does it connect to urban? The opportunities for his vision of what this economy can be, this Indiana economy, and what specifically does ag bioscience play into it? I'm elated. Elated, he said yes. And then we're going to jump into a conversation and say, okay, awesome vision. Great to have the framework. What does it look like? We're going to talk with Natasha Cox from Farm Credit Mid-America. Natasha is going to help us understand. She's a farmer as well up in Benton County in Indiana. So we'll hear from her perspective, both as a lender and a farmer, of what does this future of ag bioscience look like, really rooted down into rural Indiana and to farmers. And then we'll hear from Eric Lee. Eric is the leader of BizDev for all things fermentation at Premient up in West Lafayette. In Lafayette, they had a big announcement last year around bioglycols. Do I have that right? Biomeg.
Let's just call it Biomeg.
Biomeg.
I always find I can nail the pronunciation if I just call it Biomeg.
That's great. Eric's going to give us some perspective. Okay, so what does this mean in terms of innovation? How do we think about new abilities? Kind of like we saw, not kind of, exactly like we saw with Ingredion and what they're doing. I am elated for Quadrant. It's possible we run out of space. So if you have yet to register for Quadrant, do it now, please. AgriNovusIndiana.com/quadrant. AgriNovusIndiana.com/quadrant. It's free, but it's highly likely, given who we have there and the topics we're going to talk about, we could run out of space.
I will say I did look at the registration count this morning. We are close to running out of space. So please, if you are going to register, register soon.
I love it. And I know that I had a good chance to spend some quality time with our governor, and I'm on fire about what his vision is and what's ahead. We've had a really good run of great leaders in Indiana, and my Governor Braun is picking up that mantle and just running. It's fun.
It's going to be a great event.
It's going to be a great event, and it's going to be a fun march with you,
yes,
Kayla Chittister.
Because, well, and also at this time next month, we will be doing this episode from somewhere else.
We will be. So we are taking the month recap on the road.
We are. We're road showing it to the Indiana Ag Threats and Security Summit event with Indiana Farm Bureau and Bex Hybrids. We are going to be doing that on the road at the end of the month.
And the FBI.
And the FBI. I know you're very excited.
I'm
you
so
want
excited.
To hold a badge.
I'm so excited. It's one of the things that we've talked a lot about. We talk about ag bioscience being the only economy in the world that touches every person on the planet. There's also risk. There's lots of folks who are focused on that same future and maybe don't want to see the same future that we all want to see. There's threat, there's risk. And I just huge kudos to Indiana Farm Bureau and Bex to link arms with the FBI to put a spotlight on it, help folks understand what those threats and risks are. And my hunch is probably give some ideas on how to mitigate them.
Yeah, I see people from the Directions Group, Farm Bureau, Bex, the FBI, Pierce Aerospace, all coming together to talk about biosecurity, all kinds of things. It's going to be a great event. We'll link registration in the show notes because there is a small fee for non-members to attend, but everyone is welcome.
Everyone is welcome. Kayla, it has been a lot of fun. Thanks for a great February. Looking forward to an amazing March. Looking forward to seeing all of you at Quadrant, March 12th, 4 p.m., Indianapolis, agronovusindiana.com/quadrant.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. On behalf of the entire Agronovus team, I'm Mitch Frazier, and she
is Kayla Chittister, saying thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agronovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you liked today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agronovusindiana.com.